Hello, this is Simon Mayer welcoming you to a special movie podcast in case you can't wait until Mark Kermode's next regular weekly review. Spider-Man 3 is the first of this summer's big blockbuster movies. And I talk today to Sam Raimi, who has directed this third installment, just as he did with the other two. First, an introduction to Sam's work briefly from Dr. Kermode.
Sam Raimi made his name originally with a fantastic film called The Evil Dead, which was considered by some in this country to bring about the end of civilization as we know it, caught up in the video nasty scare, subsequently went on to make some of the biggest hits of all time, including Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, therefore demonstrating that there is no greater basis and training for any filmmaker than an extreme horror which upsets the government.
Thank you. Sam Raimi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on your show.
Apparently you didn't bring about the end of civilization as we knew it. We're still here.
Congratulations, we survived.
We were just been discussing antisocial behaviour and rudeness and what to do about it. Clearly, if you've got a latex-clad superhero inspiring the youth and instilling fear in the bad guys, that's one way to do it. Just fill in the blanks for Superman 3. Tell us the new...
Spider-Man 3,
I do beg your pardon. Fill in the blanks here, Sam, the new bad guys that that we have to fight here.
In Spider-Man 3, it's really a continuation of the stories that Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2 set up. So... mostly, we're going to be watching the love story continue between Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson. And as far as the villains, there is an unresolved conflict between Peter Parker and his best friend, Harry Osborn. Harry believes that Peter has murdered his father, the Green Goblin, and he's going to be seeking vengeance in this third part for that. But the new villains that are brought into the piece are Thomas Hayden Church, who plays the role of the Sandman. You probably have seen him in that independent film Sideways. He's going to... be revealed to be the person that actually had something to do with Peter Parker's uncle's death in the first film. So Peter Parker is going to want to enact vengeance onto that villain. And there is a fan favorite from Marvel comic books known as Venom, and Topher Grace is the actor that plays that role.
And explain the kind of outer space element to Venom and where that meteorite comes from.
I don't actually know where it came from. Somewhere up there.
Just explain what happens. We see this meteorite arrive and it crashes to land and releases its cargo.
That's right. There's a black substance that's riding this meteorite and it gets onto Spider-Man's suit. And it's drawn by the darkness that Peter Parker in this third part is exhibiting. He becomes a prideful person and that stirs the darker side of this black substance and it oozes up over Peter Parker's blue and red beautiful outfit. And covers him completely until we have a black Spider-Man. And this substance in this black suit now amplifies Peter Parker's darker characteristics. His dark side comes to life in this episode.
So this arrogance that Peter Parker starts to exhibit, this is there before he gets taken over. He was starting to get a bit full of himself anyway.
He is. He's a kid from Queens that never received all the cheers and the admiration that Spider-Man has been receiving. And he starts to believe his own press. And the thing is, we really wanted to make the character responsible for his actions. It's like a fellow that's got a little bit of a crooked side is the fellow that, while walking down that path, the devil's going to come up to and make a deal with. It's not necessarily the best of all people. It's those people that have some sort of weakness, the ability to be tempted.
I think the point that we ought to bring up here is, you know, we're concentrating on Spider-Man, we're concentrating on the love interest, we're concentrating on the villains. Of course, the most important person in Spider-Man 3, and I think actually the most important person in pretty much all of Sam Raimi's movies, is a fantastic cameo by Bruce Campbell as the French waiter, which in the screening which we were on virtually got a standing ovation because he is considered to be such a great horror hero. Tell us about who he is.
Well, Bruce is my oldest friend, and I met him in high school. Like when I was in seventh grade, and we began making Super 8 movies together, and that's how we broke into the business together. And he always would be the one who starred in the films because he was a good looking one, but he always was very capable as a director and could have been behind the camera also. He's the star of those video nasties, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and he's always been a low budget character actor in the States, but his real secret talent is that of a comedian. And he's always been in these Spider-Man films, too. He's got the bit part as the person that always hassles, torments Peter Parker in different roles.
And you mentioned the darker side, which clearly is explored, Sam. But actually, as you're suggesting there are more laughs I think, in this, the third Spider-Man film.
It's because of the dark journey they went on, I was afraid that it would be too much for the kids, so we tried to lighten it and have the other have the humor balance the whole presentation.
There's a sequence where you get Tobey Maguire walking down the street as though he's John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever. If you had a little Bee Gees soundtrack running underneath, it would have worked quite well.
Thanks. We had the idea that this black substance, besides amplifying all of his darker characteristics, it could be that people's musical side and their ability to dance was also an element of that side. So it's a strange side effect of this black substance from space that he wants to sing and dance as Spider-Man.
There is a fantastic amount of headbanging in this. I mean, people get thrown against more bits of metal and more brick walls in the first 10 minutes than I can ever recall, Sam.
Well, we really wanted to give the audience the ultimate aerial battle. In the first 10 minutes, I think you're referring to the aerial battle between Peter Parker and Harry Osborn, who's now using this skycraft to wage war with Spider-Man. He wants vengeance for his father's death, and it's a very come-at-you kind of angry friend versus angry friend fight, and that's sometimes the most vicious of the bunch.
I'd just like to say that I think that, firstly, comedy and secondly, slapstick has always been a part of Sam Raimi's work. I mean, it's funny that when The Evil Dead came out, people didn't realise that it was actually, it's a comedy horror film, as I think Sam once said, with blood and guts standing in for custard pies in the manner of the Three Stooges. And people's, faces smashing into frying pans and going, dying, and, which we see here in the Spider-Man movies banging off girders, that is something which you enjoy doing, isn't it, Sam? It's a slapstick element.
It really is for me. I guess I learned it from those American comedians, the Three Stooges. But also your Chaplin and Laurel and Hardy. I mean, you Brits are the ones that started this.
I think my favorite bit in it, Sam, is your runaway construction crane, which is some truly scary stuff. Can you just describe that?
Well, there's a sequence where in the middle of the city, they're building this tremendously gigantic skyscraper, and if you've seen these cranes, they've got these freestanding cranes that are able to swing above pedestrians on the city, and they're massive. They must be city blocks long and stories tall, just the arms of these things themselves. So in this story, one of them has a short circuit, gets out of control, and they can't shut it off, and the arm begins swinging about the city and endangering pedestrians, and it tears into the side of this building. And it's hard to explain exactly what happens, but one of the floors comes loose, and it tilts at like a 45-degree angle, and people start sliding off. And Spider-Man has really got his hands full to save the characters in that scene.
Do you have the taste to do a whole lot more, Sam? Talk of the fourth being much discussed over here?
Well, I know that Sony Pictures is planning to do Spider-Man 4, and I love Spider-Man as a character. But to make the picture, to direct these pictures, you really have to have an idea about where the character is, Peter Parker, that is. Their value is really in these coming-of-age tales. Peter Parker's a young man learning how to be a responsible person in this world, and he's got life lessons that he's got to go through. So if I could recognize a deficit of the character and some journey that he could take to become a fuller, better, more complete human being, and then if I could figure out a way to craft a story to support that was dramatic and fun, I would absolutely love to.
Sam, are we ever going to see you doing another horror film? Because, I mean, it is still true to this day that Evil Dead remains one of those chillers that everyone who saw it... I remember sort of reeling out of the cinema. And Stephen King said it was the most ferociously original horror film of the 1980s. And I know, obviously, you have other concerns now, but do you have any urge to get back there and make a really, really scary movie?
I'd love to make another horror picture. I really like a good horror film. I think they're a lot of fun. A lot of good spooky fun with popcorn flying, and it's a great chance for guys to hold the girlfriend's hand and for the girlfriends to look through the sleeves of their coats. They're so frightened. So that's a tremendous amount of fun. I would absolutely like to make another horror film. I don't have one in mind right now.
Sam, appreciate your time with us today. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me on the show, fellas.
And that was Sam Raimi and Mark Kermode. More movie reviews from us on Friday.